let's get it started in here. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's edition of the Live with Rank Show. What is today? Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday. Yes, it is Tuesday. And I am Rank. Let me check. Yes, I am. And the phone number to call in if you would like to be part of the show today is 269-441-9595. Once again, that's 269-441-9595. Or you can email me at rank, R-E as an excellent, N-K, at townswaremedia.com. And obviously, as we always have, app chat. If you have an app on one of the stations you're listening to me on, their app, we can app chat. That way, if you'd like, there is a lot going on, more and more happening in Russia. As I said yesterday, Putin is no longer just a dictator. He's a war criminal. Hopefully they will bring charges against him. I heard earlier this morning that a war criminal tribunal is being put together. Let us hope so. There's so much to talk about today. Tonight being the State of the Union address, apparently the New York Times has put out a piece saying how great this last year has been. I didn't bother to read it. The Times is no better than a National Enquirer any longer. So who really cares what they have to say? In fact, I don't know if anybody really cares what Biden has to say tonight, unless you just want some type of comedic relief and see how he delivers his State of the Union address a month late, by the way. And now, how is he going to push his agenda with all that's going on with Russia and the insanity that is happening not only in Ukraine, but now I've heard Belarus has gotten involved. Now, Belarus is a puppet state of the Kremlin. And Biden did make millions from the Russian government. We do know that. But Putin controls Belarus, and they are attacking Ukraine also. I've heard that they've also had some mercenaries that they're going to let into the city of Kiev to just start slaughtering women, children, and, just about everybody. What will the world do? What will the world do? Open question I've had for days now is, what should we do? Short of supporting everything we can, supporting the Ukrainian people and their army and government as much as possible. Do you want to get involved? Many on the left now are calling for a no-fly zone, including Adam Kinzinger, who used to be a Republican but has all but name changed parties, and he wants a no-fly zone. Like, he thinks that if we were to knock down a Russian airplane, that wouldn't constitute war by the Russians. And if they were to knock down one of ours, that wouldn't constitute war. And now all of NATO has to get involved. We have to be very careful. We have to pray that our leaders be very careful about what's going on. And so far, Biden, I give his administration credit. They said no boots on the ground. Do you guys think we should put boots on the ground? I know it's difficult seeing what's happening there, but if we put boots on the ground there, my opinion, there's countries all over the world that we have to send our military into then, because their people are being slaughtered all over the place, unfortunately. Here in Michigan, let's start with some Michigan news. Michigan revealed yesterday that's dropping a broad requirement that masks must be worn inside state facilities. 2 years after give us 15 days, 2 years later, and probably more, not necessarily 15 days late, but certainly, or 2 years late, I would say certainly a year and a half minimum late. State employees in standard office and outdoor settings are generally no longer required to wear a mask while working, effective Thursday. Generally, what does that mean? Masks still might be required in high-risk congregate settings because they can point to what study that says masks work? None. But that's where we're at today. General Motors is suspending its business in Russia, obviously following the country's invasion of Ukraine. Now, they don't do much business. It's very small. They say it sells about 3,000 Cadillacs and Chevrolet vehicles a year. But every single country, every single company should divest itself of Russia and not buy a single thing from Russia. I commend all these companies and countries that just isolate Russia and make their people make it. It's going to have to happen. There's no way around it. I'm going to shoot it straight with you. The people have to suffer because the rich won't suffer over there. Putin's not going to suffer over there. The people will have to suffer until there's some type of rise up. And if there is one, let's hope there is. I don't know if there can be. How about this? I thought it was funny enough. I actually wrote a little piece about it. Portage man pleads guilty to stealing $1.5 million in textbooks from Amazon. I thought to myself, of all the things you can steal from Amazon, you choose textbooks? And then I thought, textbooks? Amazon rents textbooks? Yes. Amazon rents textbooks. How many of you think like I do, in 20 years, there's going to be one place to get everything, and that's going to be Amazon? It's almost like the old science fiction movies that we see, or these dystopia movies where there's one company that will be selling everything. But apparently four men, three from Portage, one from Kalamazoo, decided to get into this scheme in which they would rent textbooks and then sell them to bookstores or online, which is interesting. They took up, at least they took up the model of Amazon and sold it online and not return them or buy the books from Amazon. They would try to get away with it by putting fake names out there as well as accounts. But you got to think that they'd get caught at some point. They've been doing this from 2016 to March of 2021. Now they did, they say, the government says made $1.5 million over those years. How much time will they all get? We certainly don't know yet. But here's the interesting part. I just thought that was interesting that it was textbooks that they were stealing from Amazon and then selling them. And then I asked my question, I asked myself, how many people are reading paper books or what the, many now, I guess, call them print books? And then I went and checked it out. And according to a Pew Research, some 33% of Americans read in digital formats and also read print books. So only 33%, 32% say they read only print books. Just 9% of Americans say they only read books in digital formats. So that was a lot less than I thought. Only 33% of Americans read digital books, but they also read print. So just a fun little piece I threw out there I thought was kind of interesting from all different aspects. Now a more important piece. And I hope you guys check it out with all the quite a few number of source links that are in this piece. I posted it or published it this morning at WBCKFM.com. Eventually, it'll be on WKMI.com. Michigan parents, be aware that the CDC downgraded childhood development guidelines and now speech therapists are very concerned. The American Speech Language Hearing Association, which happens to be the country's top association of speech therapists representing more than 200,000 therapists, are very concerned that out of the blue, the CDC has decided to change a major childhood development milestone. Now, that change, curiously enough, guys, comes after 2 years of our public health care scientists, doctors, officials, governors, county officials, teachers' unions, and teachers demanding the mandating of children wearing masks. To add to this, this is the first time the CDC has ever updated their milestone checklist since it was originally released in 2004. What did they downgrade? I'll tell you about that and more coming up right after this. You're listening to The Live with Rank Show.
95.3 WBCK.
Hey.
First Responders Children's Foundation takes care of the children and families the brave ones leave at home. Text BRAVE to 24365 to learn how you can help your first responder community today.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? Amid the chaos? Or is the best time perhaps today? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Listen to WBCK on your mobile device anytime, anywhere. It's free. Brought to you by Airway Auto Parts and Recycling. Don't scrap your car, but scrap your bad job and work at Airway Auto Parts.
With Rank Show. I'm telling you about a piece I published this morning. I discovered this in my research yesterday. The piece is titled, Michigan Parents Be Aware That the CDC Downgraded Childhood Development Guidelines, and Now Speech Therapists Are Very Concerned. And I thought it's very curious, after 2 years of this attack on children's education by many people who refuse to see the science, refuse to believe the science, who put themselves first before children. And now we know all the harm that's happened to our children when it comes to education, when it comes to speech. So what did they do? The CDC updated its milestone checklist, and there's a link to it, to downgrade or lower the number of words a child should learn by 30 months of age. The CDC now believes that children should learn 50 words by 30 months of age. And according to the article that I found this in, the American Speech Language Hearing Association guidelines state that saying fewer than 50 words at 24 months is a sign of a language problem. So again, the CDC lowered their guidelines to 50 words by 30 months. The speech therapists say it shouldn't be any more than 50 or less than 50 words at 24 months. In a statement, ASHA, which is the speech therapist group, said, quote, ASHA has reached out to the CDC expressing its concern about inconsistencies and urging the agency to utilize the expertise of SLPs when making changes to developmental milestones in speech, language, feeding, and social communications. Studies have shown that masks block the speech development of infants and young children because they conceal facial reactions. One study published in the U.S. National Library of Medicine concluded, quote, the difficulty in, oh, you know what? Hold on. That's me. So the ASHA, I just noticed that, and I'll have to fix that. The ASHA statement is just simply, ASHA has reached out to the CDC expressing its concern and inconsistencies and urging the agency to utilize the expertise of SLPs when making change to developmental milestones in speech, language, feeding, and social communication, end quote. Now, I have found multiple studies that shown masks block the speech development of infants and young children because they conceal their facial features. I give you a link to one of those studies published in the U.S. National Library of Medicine. They concluded that, quote, the difficulty in determining what facial expression a person is exhibiting behind a mask may present challenges for infants and young children as they depend on their parents' facial expressions coupled with tone and or voice to regulate their reactions towards others. Health professionals should understand the potential effects of prolonged mask wearing to minimize any potential long-term impact on neonatal development and optimize psychological outcomes for babies, infants, children, and their parents, end quote. There's a link to that study. Belice Gonzalez, a senior public affairs specialist for the CDC, told the Washington Free Beacon, where I first found this story, quote, the milestones included in the checklist represent skills and abilities that most children are able to do by a specific age. As always, CDC will continue to collect feedback, review data and information, and make appropriate adjustments if necessary, end quote. Well, Belice, my concern is the CDC didn't even reach out to the largest organization of speech therapists. This took those speech therapists by surprise because they just didn't reach out to them. But it didn't even end there. The CDC also downgraded from 6 to 3 words a child should learn by 18 months of age. Currently, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends children over the age of 2 wear masks. I tried 4 weeks, maybe even a month or two, to get the American Academy of Pediatrics, the group here in Michigan. I spoke several times, and I was supposed to get a call back. They're going to call you back. They never called back. I don't know if it was a year or however long ago when the American Academy of Pediatrics decided to put masks on kids. So that should tell you all you need to know. I wasn't even saying let's go on air. I was trying to get background information. And then if it was right and they were willing to come on air with you guys to explain it, they wouldn't even call me back. Because they knew they're a scientific group. Apparently, they're not. Apparently, the American Academy of Pediatrics has nothing to do with science. And it has just to do with political agendas. Because they couldn't even call me back to say, this is why we did what we're doing. So I asked the question, why do you think the federal government would lower the standards now? Could it be they realize the harm they and the teachers' unions brought to the children in our country and they do not want it to be exposed? Nah, couldn't be that, could it? Most everyone in the corporate business of public education is fighting against standardized testing for the exact same reason. They don't want the public to realize the needless harm they brought upon the children. Your children. And then in my piece, I asked the question, did the governor of Michigan know that wearing masks could harm young Michigan children and students? Well, Governor Whitmer wrote on Michigan's coronavirus website the following, quote, school speech therapists may find wearing a face covering interferes with their ability to perform their job. Face shields are an appropriate alternative for the speech therapist and the student during therapy sessions, end quote. And I give you the link to that. I would say that Whitmer did know of the harm she was bringing to these young Michigan children and students. What do you guys think about that? Would you agree? The overall question really on this subject or issue is why now? Why do you think they hadn't changed the guidelines since they first posted them or issued them back in 2004? But now they change them. It's self-preservation. Who believes the CDC anymore? Other than people who can be easily fooled, I don't know who would. Who believes many doctors now? They all went on TV and commercials and recommendations of this bogus mask issue. I saw an attorney general of the state of Florida last night say, we all knew it. All us doctors know that that mask wasn't going to work. We knew it before the pandemic occurred. But yet they still push that idea. Hospitals, quote unquote, scientists or doctors, quote unquote, doctors who were supposed to be at these hospitals, they all pushed it. And now they want you to respect them or what they say. It's sad, but let me take back a little bit. There's many doctors out there who were fighting against the other doctors and quote unquote scientists who were not telling you the truth, but they all were drowned out by who? Politicians on the left, and more importantly, all the tech companies out there, the Googles, the Yahoos, and the rest, Twitter and what have you. 269-441-9595. You listen to Live with Rank. Lines are now open. If you have a thought, give us a call. We'll be right back after this. Live with Rank. I appreciate that very, very much. 269-441-9595. If you have a thought about what we're talking about, only over 70% of Americans now support funding students' education rather than the corporate public education system. That's according to a new poll conducted by Real Clear Opinion Research. In fact, 72% support school of choice, and they support funding that school of choice so the money follows the child without the baloney regulations wherever that child goes. Only 18% of voters are opposed to school of choice. Who is opposed to school of choice? How could someone say, I'm opposed to school of choice? What is the legitimate, intelligent position that would back up someone saying, no, I don't believe in school of choice at all. We should not give them any choice. Do you believe in choice of a woman in aborting? Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. It's the woman's body. If she wants to abort that child, you know, let her abort it. It's called choice, dum-dum. All right, well, what about choice in school? No, no, no. No, once that baby's birthed, it's ours. No, it's ours. Unless you have enough money to send that child, to pay double. Not only pay for someone else's kid's education in taxes, but to also pay for your kid's education. The American Federation for Children defined in the poll as parents, quote, right to use the tax dollars designated for their child's education to send their child to the public or private school which best serves their needs, end quote. 72% of Americans agree with that. That's up 8 points from April of 2020. So almost 2 months short of 2 years ago. 64%. Did you know that many people were behind it? That's how far behind, and that is how beholden the Democrat Party is to the taxpayer money being funneled through teachers back to them. So that's the game they play. Give more money to the people who then turn around and give us more money. It's a Ponzi scheme in a way. So going back to April of 2020, there were 64% of people who believed in school of choice. And that's from Democrats, Republicans, and independents. Now there's 72% who not only believe in school of choice, but the money should follow them. From the corporate public education system to either other corporate public schools or private schools. Democrat support increasing the most from 59% to 68%. So all groups went up, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, with Democrat support increasing the most from 59 to 68%. Good for them. That is one good thing that came from this pandemic and what they did to our children at the schools. Over 80% of Republicans say they support school choice, 67% of Independents, and as I said, 68% of Democrats. So even the in this poll, in this survey, Democrats by 1% beat Independents on wanting school of choice and the money to follow. Person who put this the poll together said that there are consequences for policymakers who go against what the majority of parents want, urging them to expand educational options for every child in America so children can thrive. He went on to say, as the battle over educational freedom continues, party affiliation is secondary to ensuring all families are empowered to choose the best educational setting for their child or children, end quote. I think it's great that Democrats are coming along also and are putting their children first above their party. Because it wasn't always like that. At least from the vote, I should say. It said white and black voters supported school choice by similar margins, 72% and 70%. Respectively, 77% of Hispanics and 66% of Asians expressed support either. And that's why Virginia turned out like it turned out. Parents said enough is enough. Because you as parents, and quite frankly, you who are maybe past the age of school children, having children in school, or are those of you without children, without a well-educated society, it's going to hurt us as you get older and depend on those people to work to pay Social Security to you, to pay Medicare to you, to pay Medicaid to you. It's all a Ponzi scheme right now. There's no bucket of money out there that's sitting that you put money into. Or if there is, it's not even close to funding your Social Security, your Medicaid, your Medicare, your food stamps, your free whatever. That's all being created today as a Ponzi scheme is. A Ponzi scheme takes money in, pays off the older people, the older investors to try to keep it moving. And as long as they can bring people new money in and give some type of return to people who they first stole from, you didn't know that they stole from you. Everyone's okay as they're skimming large amounts of money off the top. But when the new money runs out, the people who are still sitting there holding the worthless paper ask, where's my money? And that's when they go to the police or the authorities. That's what Social Security is. And also, for those of you who don't know, did you know that today the government can say Social Security is done? And everything you paid in is gone. I don't know if you knew that. I know those of you who have been listening to me for a while knew that. I've spoken about this before. They don't have to pay you a dime. Legally. Politically, it would be a killer, but legally, they don't have to. Frustrated Michigan clerks call for elections reform. Now is the time. I thought our elections were just fine prior to the pandemic, and then we were lied to by all these people who cannot tell the truth if they had to, and said that, oh, we're just going to do all these special ways in which it's easier for us to cheat so you can, because of the pandemic. Pandemic's over, now they want to keep all those ways. You remember that. Apparently, two organizations that represent hundreds of Michigan clerks have now asked state lawmakers to, quote, set aside their agendas, end quote, and make bipartisan improvements to voting policies. Mary Clark, president of the Michigan Association of Municipal Clerks, and Mark Kielman, president of the Michigan Association of County Clerks, made a request in a two-page letter addressed to, quote, the state and legislative leaders, end quote. Now, Clark said her organization members are frustrated about the lack of action 15 months after the November 2020 election. Quote, the things that we need are not happening, end quote. Now, here's the funny part, and it's literally, I don't think this particular piece, I think, was from Craig Mauger of the Detroit News. They are not allowed to publish a piece unless they copy and paste this in every time. You know where I'm getting or going. It says here, Democrats and Republicans in Lansing have struggled to find common ground on how to change the state's election laws. Well, first of all, let me ask you this. Why do we have to change the election laws? You see how everybody doesn't even take a step back from that. They're fighting about the changes. Why even change at all from prior to 2020? What was wrong with our election laws prior to 2020 that we have to change? But that's how the media and that's how politicians work. They pound, they pound, they pound, they pound. And every day they talk about it. Now all of a sudden we're talking about what changes need to occur as opposed to asking the question, why do we need to change? Now, there may be an answer to that, but no one asked that question. So here's the cut and paste in every single article I read. Quote, former President Donald Trump supporters have levied unproven claims that widespread fraud cost him the 2020 vote in Michigan, end quote. Every time I've seen Craig Mauger and others write about the Russian baloney that was proven completely false, not one of them put boilerplate language like this in there. Although Democrat politicians and the media have levied unproven claims that Trump worked with so-and-so. They don't do that each time, which tells you it's an agenda for them. There's more to this coming up after this. I'll let you know what the clerks here in Michigan are looking for. 269-441-9595. You listen live with Rank. We'll be right back after this. You listen live with Rank. Thank you for that. Talking about a letter that was sent yesterday to, quote, state and legislative leaders, end quote, from two groups, or the head of two groups, representing Michigan clerks. One is the Michigan Association of Municipal Clerks. The other one is the Michigan Association of County Clerks. And they're saying that enough is enough. Set aside their agendas in these parties and help us. Quote, the things that we need are not happening, end quote. Well, my first question always is, why do we have to change anything from prior to 2020? Things seemed to be okay prior to 2020. Nobody was talking about rampant cheating. They were talking about cheating because it was being exposed every election year. But those on the left seemed to forget about that. Remember how Michigan has more, the Detroit area and precincts would have more people who vote than were on the voter rolls? But that wasn't a problem, apparently. But that was the extent of it. No one really thought they were moving the bigger races. Certainly they could move the smaller races, state rep or local races. Quote, real leadership is demonstrated by being willing to reach across the partisan aisle and create solutions. There is no doubt that Americans are divided over the past election. But improvements that led to better run elections have the power to lessen the tensions of mistrust and unite us in a common goal of accessible and secure elections. Our voters deserve a good faith effort by both state leaders to make that happen, end quote. Except what they're asking for is not going to bring more integrity, I think, two elections. The clerks are asking for more money for assisting the, quote, staff and infrastructure, end quote, including Dropbox security. Dropboxes will not bring any integrity to our election system. In fact, Dropboxes will take away from the integrity of our system. So if they're asking for Dropboxes, then they are asking for less integrity. I'm talking about these clerk groups, less integrity in our elections. Now I say if, because if they are forced to deal with Dropboxes, then they are saying we need cameras on it for more security. They say they need more money to process the surge in absentee ballots after Michigan decided that too many voters were too lazy to get up once a year and go and vote. And I'm not talking about people who are seniors or who couldn't do it before. I'm just talking about no absentee, meaning you can't even once a year at most, well, twice with primaries, go and vote. So now there's so many absentee ballots that they need help with that. Now, my thought is, well, then take money away from where those absentee ballots came from. Possibly they're not being able to do it, but not sure. The officials also requested that lawmakers allow time for pre-processing of absentee ballots to provide accurate and timely election numbers. They say due to the lack of early processing time, it took them more than a day after polls closed to get the numbers right. All I care is that they get it right. And if it takes them a day or two or what have you, does that bother you? The clerks also requested that lawmakers here in Michigan provide more time for audits and certification of primary results by moving the primary election from August to June. Now, here's something that people need to know. Republicans have sent a slew of changes, updates to our voting, and every one has been vetoed by Governor Whitmer. Why? Because Governor Whitmer, one of the main reasons is Governor Whitmer and the Democrats have so little faith in the black community that they believe that asking a black person to have an actual ID harms them from voting. That's their whole point. It is so embarrassing and demeaning to black people that their leaders, because 80-90% vote for them, believe they are so pathetic, they have no idea how to get an ID. And then they vote for that. They vote for the people who look down their crooked noses at them and say, those people don't know how to get ID. So if you, as a Republican, are asking for them to present ID, you're a racist because you're trying to suppress their vote. When in reality, it's the left and the Democrats and all that they want to do that are suppressing people's legal people's vote. I still have not gotten a phone call or an email or anything, everybody. I've reached out to people I know in the black community, and they laugh it off. They agree with me. They can't believe that the Democrat Party leaders here in Michigan and across the country think so little of them. Well, then why do you vote for them? Why do you vote for them? Jocelyn Benson is the Secretary of State and a Democrat, said she was proud of the letters that the clerks released on Monday. It's time for Michigan's legislative leaders to stop acting on misinformation, listen to the experts, and strengthen our elections, end quote. Yet she's the same person who's been putting out misinformation, not listening to experts, and doing everything she can to mind our integrity in our elections. Yet she could put a statement out there like that with a straight face. I often tell you guys, I think many of these people look into a mirror and there's nothing there. There's nothing there looking back at them. Because a person like Jocelyn Benson has been putting out misinformation after misinformation after misinformation. A person who illegally, we're told, or certainly against norms, sent 7.8 million ballot applications out. Spent our money to do it. And she's not putting out misinformation. Experts are telling her